Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, and we'll be reading the verses 30 to 44, and if you do not have your Bible with you this morning, you may find it printed, the text from the NIV in the back of your bulletins. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, the verses 30 to 44, and let us now hear the public reading of God's holy word. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw the crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it is already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. That's the reading of God's word. We're going to do a little bit of review this morning for you to be able to see our passage and to where it comes from and how it ends up, as I usually do, and I know that many of you have missed sermons from here and there, so I think it's helpful for all of us to see this. But our story starts today in chapter 1. You remember John the Baptist, who had come into the land and he had called the people out from the Judean countryside and Jerusalem, and all the people were coming out to John the Baptist, who was out in the wilderness to be baptized by him. And John the Baptist was preaching that message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, telling people that the time of salvation was coming upon them. And then Jesus came, and he heard John's call and John's preaching out there in the wilderness. And Jesus himself came from Nazareth and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit from heaven came down upon him like a dove. And it landed on top of his, or descended on him, something like landing on his head. And the voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And then the Spirit sent Jesus out into the desert, and he was tempted for 40 days, and he overcame the temptation of Satan. And while he was out there, we saw the picture at the end of chapter 1, or in chapter 1, with Jesus with the wild animals. And so Jesus has gone out into the desert where it is dangerous, where there are wild animals that could attack him, but the animals have now become tame. Because Jesus has come and he's bringing a new creation, and the desert region is the region that is cursed, and Jesus has come and he is renewing this earth. And so Jesus comes out of the wilderness and he calls his disciples, and his disciples follow him, and the first place he goes is into Capernaum, where he preaches in the synagogue. And it is in the synagogue that he does miracles, and he preaches to them, and the people all come to him from everywhere, and they're being healed, and then Jesus goes to a solitary place. And after going to the solitary place, Jesus comes back into the towns again, and he heals a leper, and he preaches to the people, and the people are coming to him from everywhere, and Jesus goes out to a solitary place. And so you can see, as we saw in the first chapter, that Jesus is patterning his ministry similar to the ministry of John the Baptist. The message is the same, that people are to repent and to believe in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is going out to the wilderness region. And the people are supposed to follow Jesus, their teacher, out to these wilderness regions. But in the first chapter, in the first part of the gospel that we have read, that Jesus has been doing this, the people have been hearing his preaching, they've been coming to him when he's in the towns, but they have not been following him out to the solitary places. And so Jesus goes back into the towns again, and he runs into the authorities, and the authorities reject him. You remember, the authorities accused him of being Beelzebub. They accused him of being the devil himself, because he had challenged them on their various laws and their various issues. And so the authorities, the leaders of the people, have rejected Jesus. And then we came to the section on parables. And in the section of parables, we saw this outside and this inside picture. There were people like the disciples who were coming to Jesus because they had heard the parables and they wanted to know more. So they came to Jesus after the parables to learn more. But yet there were some people who were on the outside. And these people have heard Jesus' parables, and they hear the teaching, and they see the miracles, but they are ever seeing, and they never perceive. And they are ever hearing, but they never understand. And a couple weeks ago, we had the passage in chapter 6 of Jesus going into his home region. And it was in his home region. He has gone back into the towns. He has gone to the synagogues. And the people there have heard his teaching. They have heard his preaching of the kingdom of heaven. They have seen his miracles that he has done. But the people don't believe. They see Jesus no more than they see his brothers James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. They see Jesus only as a man. They do not see him as the Son of God. These people, even though the Son of God is in their midst, even though they hear him, they do not understand. Even though they see him, they do not perceive. And so Jesus is rejected in his home region, and Jesus is rejected in a picture by the entire Jewish population. The leaders have rejected him. The Jewish people have not recognized him. And so Jesus sends out the 12. And you remember that the disciples were going off on this journey. They were going out two by two. They were going out with the authority of Jesus, which authority he had over evil spirits. They were going out and they were preaching this message that people should repent and believe in the kingdom of heaven. And they were driving out demons. They were anointing the sick with oil. And you remember the picture of what they were wearing. They had, in chapter 6, verse 8, we read that they had a staff with them. We read that they were wearing sandals, but they did not bring bread with them. They did not bring a bag with them. They did not bring money. And so we remember how the connection was made, that after the Israelites were in Egypt and after the Passover was celebrated, God told them to eat the Passover with a staff in their hand and with sandals on their feet, because they were going on a journey as the new Israel who was being called from the land. And so the Jewish people have rejected Jesus, the Jewish leaders have rejected Jesus, and now the people and the disciples, the new Israel, is going out and they are going to gather a new Israel. And if you look at verse 30, which is our first verse today, we read that the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. So there we see him sending them out in verse 12 and 13, and in verse 30, they're coming back and reporting. But last week we had the section on John the Baptist being beheaded. Now why the flashback? Why is this inserted in here? We've been talking in Mark about our sandwiches and the sandwich technique, in which Mark sticks a story in between another story which is not completed. And here again we have this beheading of John the Baptist. Why is this in here? What does this sandwich mean? Well, at the end of this sermon, after we have completed our part about the 5,000, it will begin to show and come clear to you. So the disciples have gone out, and they have been preaching the kingdom of heaven. They have gone out on this wilderness journey, and in verse 30 we read that the apostles have gathered around Jesus, and they're reporting to him all they have done and all they have taught. And now look at the response to these apostles who have gone out and who have been preaching this message. So many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. The people are responding to this message. You remember that John the Baptist came and he was preaching the kingdom of heaven. He was preaching repentance. And now the disciples have gone out and they have preached the same message. And the people are responding to them. They're responding to the message. And so many are coming that they cannot even eat. And so Jesus tells his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Remember the pattern that was shown in the first chapter that we talked about just a minute ago. Jesus goes into a synagogue and he preaches and he does miracles and then he goes out to a solitary place. And Jesus comes and he heals in the crowd and he goes off to a solitary place after healing the leper. And now the apostles have come and they have preached the same message. They have gone out with his power and now they are again going out to a solitary place. And notice that Jesus tells them to go by themselves. Now this is the same Greek word that you would find earlier with the parable of the sower. When in the middle of the parable of the sower, when Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear, in chapter 4, then in verse 10 it says, when he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. So the mystery of the kingdom of heaven is revealed to those who are alone with Jesus, who he is trying to instruct. And so again, Jesus has told his disciples to go out to a solitary place. They have done the things that Jesus had required of them, that Jesus had empowered them to do. And now Jesus is again going to speak to them alone. And notice what they are going to do out in the wilderness. Now, if you were to go out into the wilderness, out into the desert, you would not think that would be a very good place to rest. But now Jesus is telling them, come out to this wilderness, to this desert, and I will give you rest. Well, if you turn to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah 31, if you were to look at Jeremiah 31, verses 1 and 2, you see Jeremiah prophesying of a new covenant here. He is prophesying of a new Israel, a new people that will come. And in here it says in verse 31, Jeremiah 31, verses 1 and 2, at that time, declares the Lord, I will be a God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. And now Jesus has come and he is fulfilling this prophecy. He is taking the disciples out into the wilderness, out to the desert place, and it is there that he is going to give them rest as was prophesied by Jeremiah. And so in verse 32 we read that they went away by themselves. Here they are again, going by themselves. I'm back in Mark again. In a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Now you see the specific connection, the careful wording of verse 33. The people, all these people have responded to the teaching of the disciples and the teaching of the apostles, and look, they are recognizing them. They saw them. They aren't just seeing Jesus. It does not say that they saw Jesus and they are responding to Jesus. They are responding to the apostles and what the apostles have done, and they are recognizing them, that they have a connection with Jesus. And look what these people are doing. They are running out, the text tells us, on foot. They are leaving the towns and the cities where it is comfortable, where they can find shelter from the heat of the sun, and they are running out on foot from all of those towns, and they are running ahead of them. And now look what happens. when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd. Here in the beginning of Mark, we saw Jesus going out to a solitary place to find peace. He was calling the people out of their towns, out to the wilderness to be a new people of God, just as John the Baptist called the people. And now when Jesus sends out his apostles, the crowd is finally responding. And Jesus was going to reveal to the apostles something specific about the kingdom of heaven. And now the crowd has gone out there, and they have gone, and they have seen Jesus leave, and they've gone ahead of him. They've gone ahead of him before he even arrives. They have come by faith. They have heard the message of the disciples, and they want to know more. And now when Jesus arrives on the boat with his disciples and he sees that crowd has run out into the desert and has anticipated where Jesus is going to land, Jesus sees his people. He sees the new Israel, the new people who have responded to Jesus. And when Jesus sees his people who have run out into the wilderness by faith to meet him there, he has compassion on them. And look what it tells us. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Turn with me a minute to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, chapter 34. And in Ezekiel 34, we read a prophecy about shepherds and sheep. I'm starting at verse 1 of Ezekiel, chapter 34. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so that they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all of the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains on every high hill. They were scattered over all the earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Ezekiel was writing at the time after Israel had been in Babylon. He was writing in Babylon to the Israelite people who were in captivity. And you can see that Ezekiel here is writing about the shepherds of Israel who had failed. The shepherds of Israel were supposed to be the kings. And the kings were supposed to look over the people and care for their sheep and watch over them. But now we see in Ezekiel that the previous kings, were not shepherding the people. They were not caring for the people. They were only living for their own desires and for their own selves. And now what did we see? Keep your hand on Ezekiel. But what did we see last week with King Herod? King Herod is the ruler of Galilee, and King Herod is throwing a banquet for himself, for his own birthday party, where he can indulge in his own food. And so the people of Galilee, when Jesus sees them, when they run out to meet Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus sees them like sheep without a shepherd. Now flip back to Ezekiel. Hopefully you kept your finger there. And look at verse 22. Ezekiel 34, verse 22, where God writes, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord their God, and my servant David will be the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Jesus has come, and Jesus is the true shepherd. Jesus is the one who has come in the line of King David. He is the one who is greater than David. And now when he lands there and he sees the crowd, he sees the sheep without a shepherd. And now the true shepherd, along with his apostles, with his disciples, with the future church, has arrived on the shore. and he sees his sheep who are lost, who have been plundered by the leadership of Israel, who have rejected the Messiah, and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. And by this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said. "It is already very late. Send the people away so that we can go to the surrounding countryside and buy them, so they can go to the surrounding countryside and the villages and buy them something to eat." You see, the disciples do not get it. They have preached the message of repentance. They have done the miracles of Jesus, demonstrating his power by driving out demons, by healing the sick. The people have responded to their message. They have come out into the wilderness place. They are sheep without a shepherd. They have responded. They have left their homes. They have left everything to go out into the wilderness. And now they want to send them back. They want to send them back into the villages and in the towns again. Jesus is the shepherd. The shepherd cares for his sheep, and they want to send them back. They don't want them to be out in this solitary place because they feel responsible. They feel responsible for these people that they have preached to, and they don't want any harm to come to them. But Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Jesus, you are crazy. It would take us 8 months to earn enough money to pay all of these people. Now we have the money, Jesus, but if we do that, we won't have any money. Jesus, you are crazy. What are you doing telling us? How are we ever going to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Green grass? Why does the text tell us that there is green grass? This is out in the wilderness. They are out in this solitary place. They have left their homes. The disciples are wearing their sandals because the desert is hot. The people have run out on foot out there. They are out in the desert, and now it talks about green grass. Do you remember Psalm 23? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." If we were to look at the word in Greek, which is in the NIV translated "sit down," we would find out that it is actually supposed to be translated "lie down." Jesus has directed his people. He has found his people as the true shepherd. And out there in the wilderness, as Jesus had been at the beginning, and the wild animals had been tame with him in the first chapter, now we see again the wilderness, the dry desert, the dust of the ground which God has cursed, which the people have been outside of the Garden of Eden, now it has been renewed. There is green grass there for the people to sit on, or to lie on, as their shepherd will serve them. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And if you were to look back into the history of Israel, into the book of Exodus, you would find that as the Israelites were seated and organized, they were seated in terms of hundreds and of fifties. And so the people were directed to sit in certain places, and when they did that, it was done so that their teachers could look after them. That teachers, each teacher and each person, appointed leader of Israel, was in charge of a group of 100 or of a 50. And now Jesus has come and he has directed them as the first Israel was directed, in hundreds and fifties, and he is sending out his people. And so, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Jesus is taking this bread, these loaves, and he is going to feed his people. As the Israelites were fed with manna in the wilderness, Jesus, the true shepherd, has come. And before he begins to break the loaves, he looks up to heaven. In the Old Testament, there is specific instructions that when a priest is to pray and to bless the food for the people, he is to look down in prayer and in reverence. But Jesus, when he's getting ready to break them, he looks up to heaven. You remember when Jesus came in the first chapter and he was baptized, heaven was opened and the Spirit of God came down upon him like a dove. And so we see the breaking in of heaven, the connection between God the Father and between Jesus Christ and heaven becoming on earth. And now once again, as Jesus is getting ready to feed his people, to feed his new Israel, he looks up to heaven. He looks and demonstrates to the people as he is giving thanks that this is heavenly food which they are going to eat. And so he gave some to his disciples to set before the people. He divided the fish among them all, the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. Jesus gives his thanks, and you notice how specifically the text is telling us that he is directing the apostles to serve them. The disciples have come, and Jesus has said to them, "You give them something to eat." And the disciples don't know what to do because they don't have enough money. And now once again, Jesus breaks the loaves, and Jesus doesn't serve them himself. But he allows the other people, the apostles, his appointed leaders, his church, to go out and to serve his people. The true shepherd has come, and he is caring for his flock as through his people and through his servants. Sometimes when you hear people say, and sometimes I've heard people say, Jesus has not touched me lately, or Jesus has not spoken to me, or I've not felt his warmth and his care in my life. But you always have to remember from this text and from other texts that God does minister to you through the leaders he has given you. When you have communion, God has come and he has sent people into your life, his appointed servants, to come and to serve you from his table. Jesus, the true shepherd, is the head of the table in the spirit of communion. He is there in spirit, and you are being served by him. When you hear his word preached, you are being fed and nurtured from his word by his servants. When you go to someone who is hurting after church, and you put your arm around them, and you tell them that you are going to pray for them, the ministry of Christ is being ministered to them. As a servant, as people who serve the Lord, Jesus is teaching us here that as the disciples who are serving his people with heavenly food, he is bringing to them Christ. And so they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish, and the number of men who had eaten were 5,000. You will notice something very, very different here about this ending and about this heavenly food, about this manna which came to the people. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites were out in the wilderness and they received manna from heaven, the manna only lasted for one day. The people could not gather more manna to last for more days. They could not gather ahead because the manna would spoil. There was only enough for everyone to eat. But now Jesus has come, the greater Moses, the servant from heaven, the true shepherd. And when he feeds his people, not only are they satisfied, but there is extra. There are 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and of fish. The true shepherd is greater than Moses. Jesus can give them eternal rest in the wilderness. But what about our sandwich? Why the flashback to John the Baptist that we saw last week? Why does the inspired author put this story of the flashback of John the Baptist, which does not advance the plot? Why is it put in between our sections? What are we to see from all of this? Herod is the ruler of Galilee at this time. He is the leader of the people. He is supposed to be the shepherd for these people that Jesus is feeding. And the banquet of Herod is a banquet that is attractive to the people. Herod is celebrating his birthday. Herod is drinking eating all of the finest foods at his banquet. Herod is the one who is, and all of his guests are watching the young girl dance, as we saw last week. She is dancing for the people. She is seducing the men as she dances. And Herod is so pleased by the dance and all of his drunkenness and all of his food that he says to the girl, "Ask me anything you want and I'll give it to you." But where does the banquet of Herod lead? It leads to a bloody head on a platter. The head of John the Baptist is left on the platter, bloody and gruesome, given to the daughter who gives it to her mother. The banquet of Herod, which looks so attractive to the world, ends in death. The banquet of Jesus is much less attractive. Jesus is not serving the people prime rib out in the wilderness. He is not serving the people of the finest foods and of the finest wines. There is not fabulous entertainment out there in the wilderness. All there is peasant food, bread and fish. And they are not eating in a fancy banquet hall. There is not fancy things for them to eat and other things that they can enjoy. They are out in the wilderness, sitting on some green grass, enjoying this food. But notice what verse 42 said about this banquet. They all ate and were satisfied. Herod's banquet will never satisfy. Herod's banquet will only leave people calling for more and more. Herod's banquet, which fulfills every desire of those who are present, in which they can indulge themselves in whatever they want, only leads in death. The banquet of Jesus is attractive, not because of the food, not because how it looks in terms of the world. The banquet of Jesus is attractive because of the host. The host who looks up to heaven before he serves his people and who serves them heavenly food. And so the question you have to ask yourself this morning is, which banquet am I attending? Jesus Christ is calling you out into the wilderness. From the perspective of the world, the heavenly banquet that Jesus serves does not look very attractive. Following Jesus, running out to him by foot, leaving behind the towns and whatever sins and whatever things that have you that are pulling you away from him, out into a solitary place only to have peasants' food, does not look very attractive to the world. To the world, Herod's banquet looks attractive. Herod's banquet has every lust and desire that the body could want. But Herod's banquet ends in death. Herod's banquet will never satisfy. Oh, the many people I have talked to in my life who have lived the former life and who have said, "Rob, I had every desire and everything that I ever wanted. Every bodily desire I could have had, I went for. But it never satisfied." I saw people I knew and friends live for those desires, and I saw it end in death. But when I found Jesus, when I joined him away from all of those desires, away from the towns, away from all the things which tempted me, I began to find satisfaction. It was Jesus who gave me rest. It was Jesus who gave me peace. I had friends who told me that banquet of Jesus, that doesn't look very attractive. It doesn't look very attractive by the world's standards to join him. You're out there alone in the wilderness. But your shepherd is protecting you. It is those who are walking by faith. Those who are looking to Jesus, the true shepherd, who are coming to him, who are recognizing him, who are following him, who want to know the mystery of the kingdom, who want to be fed by their true shepherd. Those people will enjoy a future banquet. If you turn with me for a minute to Isaiah 25, Isaiah 25, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah 25 gives us the picture of a future banquet which will someday be held in heaven for all of God's people, for all of those who have joined Jesus out in the desert. In Isaiah 25, verse 6, it says, "On this mountain, the mountain of God, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all the people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of the meats, and the finest of wines." God has prepared a future banquet in heaven, a banquet which will satisfy, a banquet which will far exceed any banquet that King Herod or anyone could serve on this earth. Come to that future banquet, the picture of which we can see in God's church. And at that banquet, you can enjoy the finest of foods with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Come to Jesus. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings heaven down to us, who has revealed to us who you are, fully and truly. And Lord, we thank you for the true shepherd who has come and who watches over his flock, who cares for us. And Father, as we look at the world and even our national leaders and the people that are over us, we know that many of them live for their own selves and their own selfish gain. And many of them do not think of their own people and the flock first. But Lord, you have sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come and installed people in the church who can look after his people. And Lord, we pray that you will help us not to fall into going for the earthly banquet which fills all of our desires, but help us to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who feeds his people, who seeks to know his people and to teach them and to love them and to feed them. And Lord, we all wish to join with you in that heavenly banquet of all of the finest meats and all of the finest wines, which we can someday enjoy with you and all of your people in heaven. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.